Well, amen. It's a joy to be here this morning. I feel a little bit embarrassed after I appreciate the pastor's confidence and saying things. That's not me, but God has done so many wonderful things. It is good to be here this morning, and I hope you're glad to be here. We were like you all in Puerto Rico, locked down, couldn't go to public worship, and had to online services like men are still doing. And we still have people who are still a little concerned and doesn't come. And that's fine. But I'll be honest with you. I'm glad that verse is in the Bible when it said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And there's just something about it. Now, we still don't get to shake hands and pass the offering plate doing the same things that you all have because you want people to feel comfortable. But it sure is good. There's just something about being in God's house. Amen? And I am grateful to be here. Appreciate the pastor letting us come. And it's good to see some of you. Let me mention a little bit about the work because you do pray for us, and I appreciate that. One thing, I'll ask you to pray for the homes in Bolivia. As you know, we're involved in three homes. There are a girls' home, an orphanage for the boys, and then street boys. And one of the girls had her appendix actually ruptured the day before yesterday. And Edley called me yesterday, and they did do a surgery, but she'll be in the hospital about a month. Now, the hospitals there are not like here, and a lot of the people who have the virus are in this particular hospital because the homes, we don't have private insurance for the kids, and so she has to be there. And she'll be there for a month, and she may have to have another surgery. So I know it's hard to remember all of these things, but pray for the children's home there in Bolivia. And again, we're supposed to go to Africa next month, but that's been canceled, and we're very much involved. There's a farm over there the Lord let us have about 20-something years ago, and they do have a new president, and things are kind of lightening up as far as being able to get in and do more work there. And so that had to be canceled, and so we ask you to pray for that. The ministry of Puerto Rico, and again, we're, of course, most of you know about the storm. We're not completely back. The sanctuary is back, and, of course, most of the education building. The dorms, you know, we're taking trailers and converting them into dorms. We have two completed for the boys. And they're using some of the bathrooms that was left, and Chad knows where they're at. He came down, helped put some tile on them, but the girls were completely having to do them, and they're still in a house that we've rented, and we have five trailers. One of them we're converting into a bathroom. How many of you know how to eat an elephant? Would you raise your hand? Eat an elephant one bite at a time. And we started out, we figured it would take about $200,000 to replace all of the dorms that we're doing converting trailers. We're $120,000 into that. The other five trailers, we need about $5,000 each to finish them. And really the main one we need is the bathroom for the girls. And we've got come a long way. God has been so good. And you've certainly been a part of that. So we ask you to pray about that. Now, I know with everything closed down, we know that a lot of the embassies are still closed. We have students. We've never had students apply from India, Philippines, and even Egypt. And I talked to a pastor in Pakistan who's interested in sending his son in a couple of years. So God is still opening doors for us to go beyond the islands of the Caribbean. Who would ever think that God would raise up a little ministry there in the Caribbean that having such an influence, as pastors mentioned, in so many places? And of course, now the college in St. Vincent is doing well. But again, the islands are still closed. Now, what we'll do in August, the Lord willing, we'll teach by Zoom. Isn't that something? And our teachers, of course, our school was closed. We have a Christian day school, so they taught online. And we are going to be able to open the schools in August, of course, with some restrictions. And then we'll be doing both, from what I understand. Those who won't be, don't want to send their children, they can watch by Zoom. And then we'll have classes. So a lot's going on. Listen, I hope this is not misunderstood. Aren't you glad all of this stuff has come out and we see how wicked people are in our country? We would have never known how far our politicians had planned to take America if this stuff hadn't been exposed. I say thank God he exposed it for what it is. Now we know how to pray more directly. We know how to stand in what position. And really, to be honest with you folks, I don't think we realized how far the left had already sold our country out till all this has come out. So I'm excited that God is exposing the plans of the wicked. Amen. And he will bring it to naught. And I think he is bringing some things to light. Now, we know the Lord's coming. And all of this is going to take place. I told Pastor a few minutes ago, I think this was just a trial run for the Antichrist. And he wanted to see who would resist him, and it was very few. And those that did, we won't be here when he does take over. We're that close. I mean, it's just amazing. Well, enough politics, right? Open your Bibles to Hebrews 11. And, of course, it's always good to see Pastor Richards, and he has a special place in our heart. He and Sister Catherine, there was a time in my life that he didn't even know me, but I needed a friend, and he was my friend. Became my friend. He was a friend to me. And, of course, he has a special place in our heart, he and Sister Catherine. And I hope Barbara gets to come up before the service over. You get to see her. I thank God for my wife. We've been married 56, working on 57 years. We've been down the islands 46 of those, and God has been so good to us. And I appreciate you praying for us and some things that we go through. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to read just four verses. You know, I most of the time, and pastors let me come, and I preached a couple of mission conferences here. I don't really have a mission message per se, but it's all about getting the gospel out. Amen. Everything we do, the whole objective is to get the gospel out. And if that's not every ministry a local church has, I believe it's getting the gospel out. But I want to read some very familiar verses, and we're only going to read three verses, 1 through 3, and then verse 6. We'll only read the four verses, and we'll have prayer. And I just want to share a little testimony maybe and just try to be an encouragement to you, and I hope that's what it is this morning. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear." Drop down to verse 6. "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Father, it's so good to be in your house this morning, and especially this particular house that we, Lord, has been such a blessing to us, encouraging to us, and always been a blessing to be here and to fellowship and see old friends. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done through this local church ministry, through its existence. And Lord, only at the judgment seat of Christ will really the fullness of the fruit of their sacrifice and labor of love be revealed. And God, you'll be honored. And we thank you for their faithfulness. Now, Lord, I pray that I can be a blessing to this people this morning, these next few minutes. Well, they have certainly have been such a blessing to us and our family, and lifting us up not only, Lord, in prayer, but encouragement and support through these many years. But I pray above all, Lord, you'll be honored in what's said, and man won't be seen, but you will be seen. And I pray you'll use this man to exalt Christ, and we'll thank you for it. For we ask and pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. As I mentioned, I just want to share some things with you on my heart. I've been preaching. I've had the privilege of being preaching over 50 years. And reading the Bible and meeting some of God's servants, some of his special servants, and both men and women. I don't think anyone has a more enriched life and experiences in life and seeing our great God do great things. How many of you believe that God does great things and he's still doing great things? Amen? And we've seen him do so many great things. And I'd like to say that our God and this book is a book of miracles. And God is still a miracle-working God. The God that we read about in the Old Testament and New Testament that did so many great things, He's still doing many great things. He's still a miracle-working God. And I'm glad that we don't have to read about miracles that He's done in the past and miracles that He has done for others. And yes, they are encouraging to us, they're uplifting to us, they're challenging to us. But I want to say to us that God is still in control. God is still a miracle-working God, and God is still working in lives. And we don't have to worry about the Trinity. God, the Godhead's not in heaven right now and saying, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this situation? We didn't know this was going to come. That's not happening in heaven. Ephesians 3:20 is still in the book. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now listen to this. To the power that worketh in us. Amen. Now, that is a challenging statement. God is still able to do abundantly above that which we can even think, but the power that releases God doing that is in us. And may I simply submit unto you, I believe that, beloved, that has to do with obedience to faith in His Word and obedience to His Word. What allows God to do that work through us that is exceedingly above that what we could even think or word. I think, that, and I want us to look at Hebrews 11 this morning on some thoughts. And I think one of the key verses, the truth that we must understand is found in verse 6. Let me read it again. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, listen now, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. You know, it's just simply that we got to believe God. You know, it just takes common sense to believe there's a God. Did you know that? I read a quote somebody sends out. It said, do we have any hope that common sense may return? And you know, there's not a lot of, you heard about this educated professor one day. He was listening to these three young people talk. And they were talking about how good God is and all the things that God was such a blessing and all the goodness of God. And he let them talk. Finally, he went over there and he said, I've heard you all talking about this God. He said, can I ask you three questions? And they said, yes. He said, have you ever seen God? And they said, well, no. He said, well, have you ever touched God? And they said, well, no. He said, well, have you ever smelt God? And they said, well, no. He said, well, then there's no God. And this little boy asked this educated man, he said, how did you come up with that conclusion? He said, just common sense, son. If you can't smell Him, you can't see Him, and you can't touch Him, He doesn't exist. This little old boy about in fifth grade said, Mr. PhD, can I ask you a question? He said, yes, sir. You said, you just come to that understanding by common sense. He said, have you ever seen your common sense? He said, well, no. He said, have you ever touched your common sense? He said, well, no. He said, have you ever smelt your common sense? He said, well, no. He said, then you must not have any common sense.
That's right.
And that's simply what this verse says. We must believe that God is. Now, all of us, I'm sure, are familiar with Hebrews 11. Our third graders memorize Hebrews 11 every year, and they quote it at the end of the verse. My wife, I'm glad she is able to come up, and she's probably she's taught those department a lot, but they memorize that. These miracles that's recorded, some people call this God's Hall of Fame, and that's a good description, I believe, of chapter 11. There's three miracles that I want us to look like, three types of miracles I want us to look at in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll talk very briefly about legendary miracles. They're recorded here. Then there's ordinary miracles that are recorded here. Then there are some normal miracles that are here. And then there are some contradictory miracles that are here in Hebrews 11. You say, what do you mean, Brother Johnny, about legendary miracles? Well, I want to add another word, and then I think you'll understand what I'm saying. I think they are miracles that are legendary. We know they happened, that are extraordinary, and that are recorded here in Hebrews 11 that some of us will probably never see. For example, you remember the parting, reading about the parting of the Red Sea. Now I want you to think with me just for a moment. Go with me in your mind if you can. We know the story, obviously, so I'm not going to go in depth of it. We know the story when Moses, by the hand of God, led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And some estimate there was probably 2.5 million people. Now that's not counting the animals that came with them. So in your mind, you picture, here's a man, he's through the power of God, he's led 2.5 million people, plus the animals, to the Red Sea, or out of Egypt, and they get to the Red Sea, and of course you know the story. Now they know that the Egyptian army now is pursuing them. Now if you turn your Bibles very quickly back to Hebrews chapter 14, because I want you to see this. Here they get to the Red Sea. We got the Egyptian armies coming behind them, the mountains on beside of them, and here's the Red Sea in front of them. And the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 14, the implication is that 2.5 million people, and that would include small children, and all of the animals passed through the Red Sea probably within about 6 hours. Now, how wide would that parting of that Red Sea have to be? For 2.5 million plus animals to cross. You said you believe that, Pastor? Well, listen to what the Bible said in verse 20. The Bible tells us the latter part, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so the ones came not near to the other all night. So the implication is very clearly that happened in one night. Now notice how it happened. Well, the Bible said in verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were the wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Let me stop there just for a moment. Can you picture that? That here is a wall of water so high. It had to be. Can you imagine how wide that had to be for 2.5 million people plus animals to cross over in 6 hours? That's pretty wide. That's pretty tall. And of course, we know when the Egyptians went through, we know the next morning it said they saw them on the land, or all that were drowned. Now, listen, I've never seen anything like that. And I probably never will see anything like that. But I believe it. Amen. I believe it. I mean, God said it. To be honest with you, listen, it would be no problem for him. Did you hear the story about the mother told her son, you're going to Sunday school, she said, now son, pay attention to the Sunday school teacher. Because I don't know what he's going to be teaching the Word of God, but it's so important you'll need to hear it. And so she said, pay attention. And so after Sunday school and going home, she said, son, what was the lesson? Who did the teacher talk about this morning? Oh, he said he talked about Moses. Well, what did he talk about? Oh, he said he talked about how Moses took all of his children, all these people across the Red Sea. She said, son, tell me about it. How? What did he teach? He said, well, Mom, he said, you know this General Moses. He said he got all these people together and they left, and they were fleeing from the Egyptian armies, and they got to this sea, and they had the Egyptian armies coming behind them, and Moses had the Red Sea, and said, Moses got on his walkie-talkie, and he called his Corps of Engineers to come up quickly. And he told his Corps of Engineers, he said, listen, we got to get across the sea tonight. I need a bridge built big enough to get everybody across tonight, and we got to have it now. And he said, that Corps of Engineers, they built that bridge, and all of them went across and got on the other side. And then here come the Egyptian army, and he called his demolition crew up here, and he said, I want you to blow up that bridge and drown everybody in the sea. And they blew up that bridge, and Mom, everybody in that sea, the whole Egyptian army drowned that night. She said, now, son, is that really what he taught? He said, well, Mom, that's not really what he taught, but if I told you what he said happened, you wouldn't believe that. Notice what he said in verse 29. By faith, Hebrews 11, by faith they passed through the Red Sea by the dry land, which the Egyptians are said to do were drowned. You know, just to be honest with you, they that cometh to God must believe that He is. And listen, we could preach a whole hour on legendary miracles. God's Word said we could talk about the three Hebrew children. How they went in that fire. Can you imagine that? The fire was so hot that those who threw them in there were consumed, and they came out and didn't even smell like smoke. That's God. He's still a miracle-working God. He still does things like that. Now, I've never seen that. Now, we read about those legendary miracles, and the Bible is full of them, the Old Testament, New Testament. And I know that when we come to the New Testament, there's so many. But I'm sure you're familiar with the miracle in John 6 and the feeding of the 5,000. And how the Bible emphasized when Andrew said, well, there's a lad here who has a lad's lunch and five barley loaves, and the emphasis is upon two small fishes. And how that he took that bread, and how that he broke it, and he blessed it, and he gave it, and all of them were fed. And not only that, but when they finished feeding everybody, they took up 12 basketfuls. Can you imagine the story that little boy had to tell his mom when he got home that night? And she said, son, I know I didn't pack you much, but I hope it was sufficient. Are you hungry? Oh, he had a story to tell. What am I saying? I'm saying that when we read the Word of God, and they are legendary miracles that were recorded there. Now, you and I may never see, literally, a sea part that way. And you and I may never see people that put in the fire come out that way. And they are legendary miracles, and there are many miracles that we could read about, and it would encourage us and then excite us. But I want to talk to you about the second type of miracles that's recorded here in Hebrews 11. May I talk to you a few moments about just ordinary miracles that happened to ordinary people who just believed God and obeyed. Notice as I read, and the Holy Spirit gives us some names of just about ordinary people. Listen as I read a few verses. Verse 8 of chapter 11, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive as for an inheritance. Now listen to this. Obeyed and went out not knowing where he went. Now if you know anything about Abraham before, now we know him as the father of faith, and he is the father of the Jewish nation, but yet Abraham is just an ordinary man. Matter of fact, he lived in the land of Ur Chaldeans, and what we understand, his dad was an idol maker. And by faith, he obeyed God, went out. And I'm sure people wondered, what's he doing? Why is he leaving? Notice another one, verse 11. This has to do with Sarah, of course. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now what is God saying to us when we read? God uses ordinary people. And There's the ordinary miracles. Why? They just simply obey Him and His promises and believe that God is still able to do everything He promised and said He would do. Ordinary people obey God, you know, and there's no doubt people around them don't see what they know that God did. And there's things that God does in your life, in my life, that people around us see it. They wouldn't consider that a miracle, but we know it was God. It was just God. I think about mine and Barbara's life. Neither one of us come out of a Christian home. My dad was in prison when I was born, and I grew up in a home where I thought God had a last name. I think you'll understand that. And we moved to Atlanta, left Knoxville. Oh, we thought we went to a foreign country. Came to Atlanta, got the job at Ford Motor Company. Neither one of us never been 40 miles away from where we grew up. And we didn't know the Lord at that time, but we came to Atlanta and started working at Ford Motor Company. And one day, my car broke down. I was walking down the road, and there's a man picked me up by the name of Harold Pulliam. And he was from Black Mountain, North Carolina. And Harold was a Christian. He saw me walking, and he'd seen me at the plant, and so he stopped and picked me up, and he and Carol began to befriend Barbara and I, and got us to go to church, and got us under the gospel, and we're just ordinary people. We were just ordinary people. Still are just ordinary people. But because of them, and us getting under the gospel, and hearing this book preached, and the God of this book, and who He is, and what He can do, and if you'd give Him your life, and God has opened doors that we could have to serve Him, that everybody else, listen, nobody else may see that as a miracle, but we know the miracles that God has did. Matter of fact, there's so many of them we could write a book. I mean, from the time that these last 46 years that we was in Dominica, and then in Puerto Rico, and what God has done, and people may say, well, there's another church started there and this or that, and they may not see it, but it's been one miracle after another miracle. It's just God. It's just God. And the people that's been saved. I just relate to this. I appreciate, I'm sure Pastor mentioned, and you know, back Saturday night before Easter, we had a heart attack. And all hospitals were closed. And you had to go through an emergency, so they took me to an emergency room in a hospital there in Carolina. And I laid in the emergency room for 4 days. And if you ever had, if you've got heart trouble, you'll know what nitroglycerin is. That's terrible stuff. It'll give you a headache like you, man, you wish your head would just go ahead and explode, it's so bad. Well, they kept me hooked up to an IV for 4 days with nitroglycerin. That was terrible. I was not a happy camper. Finally, on Wednesday, they transferred me to another hospital where they were doing the procedures. And so they got me there, took me straight in to put in some stents to try to open up the arteries because I was tired of that nitroglycerin. And it's kind of ironic. This doctor, he said, he talked to me. He said, listen, we're going to go through your arm. He said, it's easier on you but harder on me to do this. I said, man, that sounds good to me. Well, you know, I don't know if you ever had that procedure, but they did that. And he woke me up and he said, you got long arms. I said, well, yeah, they come with me. No, he said, what I mean is, he said, time I got to the blockage, I didn't have enough catheter to finish my job. And he said, I can't go back in because the dye we put in, he said, it does too much damage to your kidneys. So he said, I'm going to have to keep you and give you a day to get all this dye out of your body, and then we'll go back and do it again. So they put me in a room. Well, the room we was in was a couple was there, and he was a very sick man. I could see that. And so I introduced myself, got to talk to him, and I could tell they didn't understand a lot of lot of English, and I said, listen, my son will be here tomorrow, and he speaks Spanish real good, and he's going to tell you all how you can know you're saved, give you the gospel, but they wouldn't let Johnny in. The only person to come in was Barbara because of a lockdown, you know that. And I knew this man was sick. He was a young man, probably in just his late 40s, but had cancer in his stomach, and had operated on him, and a lot of poison went in his body, and he was just split open, and they couldn't do nothing for him. And man, I said, God, you're going to have to give me the gift of tongues, or give them the gift of understanding, because he needs to hear the gospel. And I got to witnessing to them, and they got saved. The Lord did that. Well, Saturday morning, now they were Catholic. They'd never, they understood good English, but they, or he did, and he could speak some. She understood, but not, and I was really worried, did they really understand? You know how? And so Saturday morning, I did have one procedure done, and they had to send me home, and I had the other one done a couple of weeks back. They went back in and put, I've got a complete tune-up. I feel good. I would run, but I'm on camera, so I better stay over here. No, I'm teasing. So I went over before I left on Saturday morning, and I said, listen, I was reading, I want to give you a verse. And I read them, I said, I want to give you a verse of Scripture. And she said, Pastor, before you do, and she handed me a Bible, she said, would you underline the verses you showed us how we could know we're saved? I think she understood. And I did read them the verse I wanted to give them. Thou art my servant, Isaiah 41, verse 10, 9 and 10. Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and cast thee away, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And that was the verse I was going to give them. But God used that, I believe, and she asked me, Pastor, will you just highlight the verses? And I gave them to her, and 2 weeks later, I preached his funeral. Now, at his funeral, I told him this. You may not see that as a miracle, but you see, everything God does it. All he wants us to do is trust him. I'm in control, and obey me. I told him, I was spoke at the funeral, I said, God didn't give me a heart attack to keep him out of hell, but God used the heart attack that I had to keep him out of hell. And she came to church a couple of weeks ago. Pray for this family. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying, listen, all God wants us to do is trust him and obey him and believe him. God is still a miracle-working God. I think about not only the people that saved, but the staff at God's call. And the pastor came down a year and a half ago and had a transition period, and now I'm free to do a lot more things than I'm wanting to do. And Pastor White is now the senior pastor, but the staff that God's called, the people that he has called and trained and sent out, and listen, God is still a miracle working God, and he does it through just ordinary people. You don't have to be extraordinary, just ordinary people that will trust him to do what only he can do. And when God brings, listen, these are normal, ordinary circumstances. But God uses them. I said to our church through the years, I really believe that God birthed the church in Puerto Rico, God birthed that local church into existence. And I said it when we just started, that if we would keep pure hearts and clean hands and just be committed to fulfill the Great Commission, we'd see God do things that only God can do. And he wants to do. Listen, don't just read about miracles. Enjoy the miracles that he does. Then let me talk to you a few moments about not only extraordinary, legendary miracles, not only ordinary miracles, but let me talk to you about normal miracles. You say, what do you mean? What does a normal miracle look like? Can I suggest to us that God does so many normal things that we don't even see it as a miracle? You know, the Bible said, the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him. Is that in the Bible? And I don't know, sometimes do you ever wonder, listen, I look back on my life and God has protected us so many times from so many things, and it wasn't because we were lucky, it was God.
just God. Can you? I got a feeling when I get to heaven, the Bible said the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear Him. Do you fear Him? You and I can't see them, but we're surrounded about angels. And I got a feeling when we get to heaven, some of our angels are going to say, "You just don't realize how hard you made my work on some of the dumb things you've did." Brother, you must identify with that. Yeah. I'll share this. One time we went to the jungle, and we're deep in Venezuela. And we were on the Paraguay River, and it was 125 degrees in February. How many of you know that's hot? And this little Indian wanted to show us a waterfall. He cut us a path up through the jungle and where we get this waterfall. And we came back down. Of course, we was with in the village. And of course, in this particular village we was with, the whole tribe lives in one big hut. Coconut branches and just poles and hammocks tied up. And the whole village lives there. In this particular village, there's about 60 people lived inside that hut. And so there was a river there. And so we went up the river and there was some rapids. They said, "We want to show you these rapids and we'll go up there and take a shower." Man, we was laying on those rocks, and that water's coming over. Man, it felt so good. So relaxed. Cooled us all. Well, that river run pretty swift. Well, I had this smart idea, I thought then. Fellas, let's just ride this swift river back to the village. Now, if you had an inner tube, that'd been maybe a lot more fun. So here we go down that river, and I get caught in a whirlpool. You've seen them, right? Now, I was only 50-something then, and I'd climb that hill and come back down, and I was in that whirlpool. And you know, you don't get out of those things. Now, I'm not a spiritual man, but I got some common sense. I said, "Well, Lord, that was kind of dumb, wasn't it, what I did?" I might as well talk to the Lord honestly. I said, "This is kind of dumb, and I should have guessed, prayed about it. But they'll never find me." I mean, we were deep into the jungle. And I said, "Lord, if you don't get me out of it, I guess I'm coming home." And don't ask me how I got out of it, but I got out of it, got over to the bank, and I waited that little canoe come back, and I said, "Hey, I'm over here." Now, let me tell you something. It's not because I was a good swimmer. And there's things you've seen. You probably had some what people call accidents that you should have been seriously injured and killed in. But you wasn't. It wasn't because, listen, I mean, they're so normal. I mean, really, to be honest with you, I mean, all the time things happen to us and God takes care of us. Why? Because He is a miracle-working God. God just does it. Let me share something else with you that I think is very interesting in these scriptures. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me just read some verses beginning in verse 31. "By faith, Rahab the harlot perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For time would not fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of the weakness and made strong and waxed valiant in fight and turned the flight of their armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised again, and others were tortured and accepted deliverance, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection." I mean, life is just full of normal miracles. God just protects us. And how many times have you said, "Wow, if I hadn't had that flat, I'd have been where that accident happened." You believe an angel will give you a flat tire if that's what you need? What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, when we read Hebrews 11, we should see, yes, there are legendary miracles that we may not ever see. But yet there's normal miracles. There's ordinary miracles. There's just miracles that God does. These people, and how did they obtain it? The Bible said, by faith, being obedient to God. People are in the Hall of Fame because of that. I know that, and we don't understand all of it. Notice verse 30, the last one is contradictory miracles. You say, what do you mean, Pastor, contradictory miracles? Well, let me read verse 36 through verse 40. Others had cruel markings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and coatskin, and being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens of caves of the earth, and all of these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, and they without us should not be perfect. Now, what do I mean by contradictory miracles? Well, I've been reading about all these extraordinary things that happened, and all these people, and how they were delivered, and all that. And we get to these people. What's wrong with these people? Wonder why they wasn't delivered. Wonder why they were scourged. Wonder why they were sawed asunder. Wonder why they were imprisoned. Wonder why they were slain and had to live in deserts and caves. Don't God love them? Can't God give them a miracle? Listen, there's things that God does that we don't understand. It'll seem contradictory. But God knows what He's doing. And there are people, these people. And I think the very fact that God put these people in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Fame, He could trust them through these scourgings and trials and torture and torment. I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. And God will do things that you pray, and couldn't God protect these people? Couldn't God deliver these people? Yes, He could have. Just like He did all the others. Just like He's did for you and for me, but He didn't. You see, God is not accountable to us, but we're accountable to Him. And all He wants us to do is, listen, trust Him and be obedient to Him. God is sovereign in all of His ways. We had a privilege, and I'm finished. We had the privilege of having our youngest daughter and her children come down last week, actually, or a week before last. They left last Monday. Jennifer, our youngest daughter, they're into foster parenting now. She was carrying triplets. And she went into labor at 22 weeks with triplets. That was January the 12th. One was delivered, Victoria. She went down actually less than a pound. You could lay her in the palm of your hand. She didn't even have skin when she was born. They stopped the labor. For the next 2 weeks, Jennifer laid flat on the bed and couldn't move. And the next 2 weeks, she went into labor. They took the kids and the next two, and they weighed a little, almost 2 pounds, I think, wasn't it? Close to it. She had the other two. Christina lived 8 days. Victoria is still alive. She's 22 years old. She's a cerebral palsy child. She's still in a bed. She'll be there until the Lord takes her home. Christina lived 8 days, and she got the infection, and she hemorrhaged to death. Jessica, the only thing happened to her, she got the infection, she lost one eye. But I'll never forget when The Lord let us be there when Christina died and Jennifer was holding her. She said, "Dad," and of course she was holding that 8-day-old child of hers. She said, "Dad, is it wrong to ask God to let her live?" I said, "No, it's not wrong." And she passed away. They said, "We can't stop her." She died and we buried her. Jennifer said this. She said, "Dad, this hurts. I don't understand it, but I know this is the will of God." Victoria, cerebral palsy. She's been in a bed and she's laid there. I mean, Jennifer takes care of her. She's been there for 22 years, but she's never had a bed sore. Jennifer really takes care of her. Jessica just graduated from Bob Jones last year in May. And so God has a plan. The reason I said that, because Jennifer was there last year, and because they couldn't have any more children, they went into foster parenting. And they've got a biracial child. They've got all kinds of, they've had a lot of kids in their home. And I said this to them. I said, "You know, if all three of those children had lived, you might not have ever went into foster parenting. Now these kids have gotten saved." And I asked my son-in-law, I said, because sometimes they have these children for a few weeks, a few months, sometimes up to a year, and they take them, and the goal is to get them back in home, but they know they're going to go back into a drug-infested home. But, that's the world we live in. And I said, "Matt, how do you do that?" He said, "Dad," he said, "if God lets us have them long enough that they can hear the gospel and get saved, at least they won't go to hell. They may have to grow up in that time." You know, now what am I saying? I'm saying, listen, here's Jessica. She graduated from Bob Jones. The other one lived 8 days and died. And Victoria's still laying there in the bed and will be there until she goes home. Listen, we don't understand why God does what God does, but He's still a miracle-working God. He still does it. The last example I'll give you is turn your Bible to Acts chapter 12, and I'm closing with this. You know the story in Acts 12. The church is actually in its infancy. God is moving. God is doing great things. People are getting saved, and religion, organized religion, is being threatened. And so in Acts chapter 12, we find that Peter is now in prison. Begin reading, notice in verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, when you go into a circumstance you don't understand, listen, it's wise to pray. That's it. My daughter asked me, she said, "Dad, is it wrong to ask God to let Christina live?" I said, "No, let's ask Him to live." But when she was gone, she said, "Dad, it hurts and I don't understand it, but I know this is the will of God." Well, the Bible said they begin to pray. Verse 7, the prayers begin to get answered, and behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and said, "Arise," and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and the chains fell off. And that, every time I read those verses, it amazes me. I mean, here's Peter. He's so sound asleep, this angel had to kick him to wake him up. You said, wonder why Peter could sleep so good. He had confidence in God's promises. What was God's promise? Well, remember back in John 21? And when the Lord was dealing with Peter and he said, "Peter," he said, "now that you're young, you can go where you want to, but when you're old, they will do what they will unto you." And the Bible said, "This they spake unto him, signifying what death he should die to glorify God." Well, that only happened a few years earlier. Peter knew he wouldn't know, so why worry about it all night? Might as well go to sleep. Because he had a promise from God. And he believed God, and he knew he was there because he was obeying God. So the angel woke him up and said, "Peter, put your shoes on and let's go." And they go out, and of course you know the story. They get through the gate, it opens up automatically. They get outside. Peter goes where they're having a prayer meeting for him. And notice if you would, in verse 13, as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew it was Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told them how Peter stood at the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. This is, and she constantly affirmed that it was even so. I mean, listen, sometimes we pray, but we don't believe. Now, and when we're in a trial and when we're in a circumstance, we should pray, but we should pray that God's perfect will would be done. And when they said, listen, Peter's here, he said, that wasn't so. And so verse 16, but Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now, we know that that is a legendary, supernatural miracle of God. But I want you to notice the first two verses of chapter 12. And I'm closing with this. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand and vexed certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Now why God deliver Peter? You don't think they prayed for James? Well, sure they did. Maybe James wasn't as good a preacher as Peter. Well, James was the pastor of the church. Why did God get Peter out of prison and let James be killed? I don't know. But God does all things well. Let me say, you know, we say things that sometimes I don't think we really believe what we say. I've heard people say, I want to be here as long as God wants me here, and when God's through with me, I want him to take me home. And then all of a sudden, I wonder why God took him home. Well, maybe he was through with him. I mean, James, listen, he was right in the center of the will of God. And I'm sure they prayed for him. But God was through with him. And that's what the last few verses of Hebrews 11 is saying. Some were killed. Some were scourged. Some were tortured. Some were this and some were that. And he said, of whom the world is not worthy. But God put them in the Hall of Fame. Let me tell you something. There's grace for grace. You know what that means. Whatever circumstance we are in life, God will give us the grace to sustain us. None of us know what we're going to go through in life. But let me tell you something. Obey Him. Trust Him, believe in His promises, and God is still. Listen, I'm sure we could have a testimony meeting this morning. You say, Pastor, let me tell you something. I was driving down the road, and I fell asleep. And something happened, woke me up. You know what? Probably one of those angels like Peter. That was a miracle. We have miracles every day in our life. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you. I don't know what some people are going through in this life. Maybe somebody's listening and facing a trial and sickness, financial need,